Joshua chapters 20 and 21, we have the appointment of the cities of refuge and the Levites' cities. I want to remind you that chapters 13 through 19 gave the details of the borders of the 12 tribes of Israel on both sides of the Jordan River. And in these chapters, chapters 20 and 21, we have the appointment of the six cities of refuge and another 42 cities that are dedicated to the children of Levi, Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. So in the first verse, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, you see the word also. There's been a kind of an interim from about chapters 14 through to the end of chapter 19. This discussion is actually a continuation of what took place there in the 13th chapter when the Lord has said to Joshua to do this, get that land distributed. Now, picking back up on this dialogue here, the Lord also spake to Joshua, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, get this done as well, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Now, the first time that there is an allusion to the city of refuge is in Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. Exodus 21, verses 12 and 13. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And here it is. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand. And what he means by that is there's been an accidental death. Then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. The allusion to the city of refuge here. We would refer to Numbers chapter 35, verse 6. It's a reference to the cities of refuge. It says, and among, in Numbers 35, verse 6, and among the cities. Chapter 21 will deal with the cities. There are 48 of them total. Six of those are these cities of refuge. Among the cities which ye shall give to the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, someone who has slain the blood of another, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So the idea is here that Israel should finish dedicating the other three cities of refuge on the western side of the Jordan River because Moses had already given the three or dedicated the three that would be on the other side of the Jordan River. If you would look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and reading verses 41 through 43. That took place when Moses was living. And so the thrust of this is to finish this, get it done for the western side of the Jordan River. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 41, then Moses severed three cities on this side, Jordan, notice toward the sun rising. So he's talking about the east side, that the slayer, purpose for it, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, accidental death, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, which on the east side are namely Bezer in the wilderness, in the plain country called the plains of Moab, of the Reubenites. and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. Cities of refuge will be in the north, midsection, and in the southern section. Now, in verse 3, about this, we pick up again the purpose for these cities of refuge, that the slayer, and this will be anyone, anyone in the land of Israel, whether he's an Israelite, a stranger, or a traveler. And that would be in Numbers 35, verse 14. That the manslayer that kills any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause, the reason for his coming to this city, in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them. He declares it as he comes to the gate of the city. One of these specially designated cities of refuge. He comes there. He has caused the accidental death of someone. And to save his life from the avenger of blood, you know, the heat of passion and such, the man would kill him. So to prevent that from taking place, he'd run to one of these cities, three on the west and three on the east. He would come to the city and declare the reason that he's there. And then having heard that, they have to receive his report, take him into the city, and protect him until he goes through the legal process. Be careful when you read these kinds of things, because there's nothing in the scriptures that condones vengeance by a man. This would have been a heated and passion where the slayer of blood, the avenger of blood, would take the life of another. Understanding that men can get caught up in this. I understand that. So the Lord gave this to prevent that from taking place. But to avenge yourselves is not right. It wasn't condoned by Scripture. Verse 5. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not, of the city, shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. That's the report. They believe his report until it's proved otherwise. And he shall dwell in that city, notice, until he stand before the congregation for judgment. There would be means for judgment in the city, where the crime took place, where the death took place. Sometimes I believe they could go up to Jerusalem and appeal to the highest court. But he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. And if innocent of murder, and until the death of the high priest, that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come to his own city after the death of the high priest, and unto his own house, and unto the city from which he fled. He could not come out of that city until the death of the high priest, or he bore the responsibility for his own life if the avenger of blood met him along the way. The point is that no matter how blood is shed, God must be satisfied. Whether the blood is purposely or accidentally shed, God demands satisfaction for that blood shed. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Blood must be satisfied, the shedding of blood. Even innocent shedding of blood. For lack of satisfaction, the land, the earth, becomes polluted, and subject to judgment by the Lord, and that to cleanse the land of blood guiltiness. God begins to judge the land, which works to destroy the people from off of it. In Psalm 106, verse 37, we'll read through verse 40. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, Israel did, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. In the case of murder, God only accepts the blood of the murderer for the innocent blood that he shed. But even in the case of accidental death, the only satisfaction for that blood shed is either the life of the one that caused the accidental death, or for that one to remain in the city of refuge for as long as the high priest lives. In Numbers chapter 35, verse 32, and this is the comparable text to this one we're reading, Numbers 35, actually, 1 Chronicles chapter 6 will also help with this. They all provide just a little bit of a different detail for us about the cities of refuge and the cities, other cities as well. In Numbers chapter 35, verse 32, and ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. The one who caused by accident the death of another can't buy his way out of it. He must stay. He can't. There's nothing he can do. He must remain in the city to be protected. Verse 33, so shall ye not pollute the land wherein ye are. For blood, it defiles the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell. For I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. The high priest stood as one that bore the judgment for the sins of the people before God. I want to read two scriptures, the one in Hebrews chapter 10 and the other in Exodus chapter 28, verse 30. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, and it goes on, which can never take away sins. As long as he lives, this one cannot leave the city of refuge. And it doesn't mean that the high priest is living in the same city. The fact that the high priest lives, and he will be located eventually over in the city of Jerusalem. But where these are, because he lives, they all must, that have gone to the cities of refuge, must stay there until the death of this high priest. And what he's doing is he's wearing a pouch over his high priestly garments, over the beautiful ephod. There is a pouch that hangs from golden chains around, and it fastens to some ouches above his shoulders, and all this beautiful thing, but he's got a pouch, and in that pouch are inside, you can't see, but inside are fastened 12 stones, one for each of the tribes. And inside with that, if I understood it correctly, there is what is called the Urim and the Thummim, and that is a judgment of the Lord. And And where it's located is over his heart. And he's bearing the judgment of the sins of his people. And he stands as a type for Jesus Christ, bearing the sins of his people. And I thought, how does this apply? I don't know. I'd share this much with you about this. He has died for our sins. The judgment is passed. We have come to the city of refuge. Christ is our refuge. Like those in Noah's day, they came into the ark, and that one comes into Christ by faith. But if he were to leave this place of refuge, and I take that to be an act of presumption, you know, willfully disobeying the Lord and stepping out into things that we ought not to do, then we bear the chastening of the Lord as a result. I would share that much with you as a type, as a simple way of communicating this city of a refuge that we can that kind of identify with it. In verse 7, and they appointed these particular cities. We'll read those and point them out pretty quickly for you on the map. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee. You know where Galilee is. I'm surprised it was called Galilee then. But I did notice that Kadesh, we're starting in the north on the west side. Kadesh here, just below where Dan took this area because their area was too small. Up in the north is Kadesh in Mount Naphtali. And then you come down midway to the city of Shechem here in the mountain of Ephraim or hills of Ephraim, Mount Ephraim. And then you drop down to Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, down here. So you have a north and a middle section and a southern city of refuge in the mountain of Judah. On the other side, and remember, Moses has already taken care of this, but we see them named here. On the other side, Jordan, by Jericho, starting this time, we'll just take the easy way around, to the south and work our way up to those three places. You have on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, so we get an idea of the territory where we're at, southern area. They assigned Bezer, or Bosar, in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben. It's in this area. And Bosar, Bezer's right here. And then you come into the area of Gad, who has Gilead. In the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead. Ramoth, Gilead, here, again, this is supposed to be the midsection of this territory on the east side, out of the tribe of Gad. And then Golan in Bashan. Bashan's this area right here. And Golan was here. So you have this city in the north, this city midway, and another city all the way down here. Those are the cities of refuge. Verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourns among them, that whosoever kills any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation for judgment. If he was found guilty, he died as a result of his crime, being proved guilty by not less than two or three witnesses. No one could be put to death on the testimony of only one. In chapter 21, we have the rest of the cities. Remember how many there are total? 48. Six cities of refuge, 42 of the other cities. And these are all cities of the Levites. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh, not at Gilgal anymore. The new headquarters where the tabernacle has been erected is in Shiloh, in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. I'd like to read that, it would be helpful. Turn to Numbers chapter 35, verse 1. And we'll read through verse 5. And you'll have the term suburbs. And so it's very easy to explain. You'll get the idea by the description that we have of the cities that are going to be dedicated to the Levites and the area immediately around the city. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites the inheritance of their possession, cities to dwell in. They don't have land, but they will receive these cities. And ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs. Suburbs. That is the area beyond the walls of the city for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods or storage and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which he shall give unto the Levites shall, now we have a distance, shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. So 1,500 feet, if a cubit, I always go by 18 inches, so 1,500 feet. So you have a good idea how far their territory goes outside there, but a little more now. And you shall measure from outside the city, that is beyond that the wall, but now you're going out to the edge of the 1,000 cubits, and you shall measure from without the city on the east side, 2,000 cubits, on the south side, 2,000 cubits, on the west side, 2,000 cubits, and on the north side, 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them, to the Levites, the suburbs of the city. So they have the city, and they have 3,000 cubits, almost a mile, a little short of a mile, of property all around the city. So it's a good distance that they have. The children of Israel, in verse 3, gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs to the Kohathites. And the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites. And there's a little distinction you have to make in them, because of the Kohathites are the family of the sons of Aaron. So the first things that are said pertain to them, and then there's going to be further remark about the rest of the Kohathites. The lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot, out of the tribe of Judah and out of the tribe of Simeon. Remember, Simeon's lot was in Judah's lot. And out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the children of Kohath, notice that, they weren't the sons of Aaron. The rest of these had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim. The sons of Aaron had this area. And then the rest of the Kohathites will have up over to Dan and through Mount Ephraim, I believe up to the half tribe of Manasseh. And they'll have, we see that verse 5, 10 cities. The rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the half tribe of Manasseh on the western side. How many cities? 10 of them. They gave 10. Gershonites, verse 6. And the children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar and out of the tribe of Asher, they're going to have this area. And out of the tribe of Naphtali will have this side, and Zebulun will be tucked right in here. And that will come up in just a moment. Zebulun. And the children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar and out of the tribe of Asher and out of the tribe of Naphtali and out of the tribe of half tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. The children of Merari by their families had out of the tribe of Reuben and out of the tribe of Gad and out of the tribe of Zebulun. There it is. So they came over to the east side in this one, Merari, and then a part of the family gets to move over right over into this area where Zebulun is. And the children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And so you have a description of their cities, and I'm just going to read this. Maybe on your own time you can look at it. At verse 9, they gave out of the tribes of the children of Judah and out of the tribe of the children of Simeon these cities, which are here mentioned by name. And we'll get to Benjamin in just a moment because they're part of this. For the Kohathites, for the sons of Aaron. Which the children of Aaron, being of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had. For theirs was the first lot. And they gave them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is the city of Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about it. And the fields of the city, remember this, and the villages thereof around Hebron, they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for his possession. Remember that? Thus they gave to the children of Aaron, the priests, Hebron, with their suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Libna and her suburbs, and Jatir with her suburbs, and Eshtemoah with her suburbs, and Holon and with her suburbs, and Deber with her suburbs, and Ain with her suburbs, Jutta, her suburbs, Bethshemesh, there's three and four different places. Deber, probably four Debers. There's three Bethshemeshes. So you know you're talking about the southern Bethshemesh with her suburbs. Out of these, Simeon and Judah, they gave nine cities out of those two tribes. But also we have to consider the tribe of Benjamin. He gave Gibeon with her suburbs and Geba with her suburbs. And so you get an idea where they are. Gibeon here and Geba right here. Anathoth with her suburbs, the city of Jeremiah the prophet, and Almon with her suburbs, four cities. All the cities of the children of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their suburbs. Now they got a pretty good portion. 13, virtually a by the time you're done with the Kohathites, actually end up with almost half of all the cities given to the Levites. Verse 20, describing the cities that belong to the rest of the Kohathites. And the families of the children of Kohath, the Levites which remained of the children of Kohath, even they had the cities of their lot out of the tribe of Ephraim, where they gave them Shechem, with her suburbs in Mount Ephraim to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Gezer with her suburbs, and Kibzaim with her suburbs, and Beth-horon, we don't know which one it is, but Beth-horon, upper nether, with her suburbs, four cities. And out of the tribe of Dan, the one on over here with Eltika here, Dan's property. Tribe of Dan, Eltika, with her suburbs, Gibbethon with her suburbs, Ajalon with her suburbs, Gath-Rimmon with her suburbs, four cities. And what's very interesting is they dedicated these cities to them, and yet it was the Amorites that drove them over to the mountains. So I don't know when they got to possess this. There was still some work to be done, but they were the Levite cities for what it's worth. And I will clarify the last paragraph of this section. There's still a lot of work to be done. A number of these cities are out here where the Amorites are. Yeah, they were chased all the way over to the foothills, Eshtaol, and these areas here. And then that's why it was not enough. They lost that land virtually, so they went up and took Leshem. Pick up at verse 25. Out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Taanach, and with her suburbs, and Gath-Rimmon, her suburbs, two cities. Evidently, another Gath-Rimmon. All the cities were 10 with their suburbs for the families of the children of Kohath that remained. So of the children of Gershon, verse 27. And unto the children of Gershon, of the families of the Levites, and of the other half tribe of Manasseh, go to the other side now, they gave Golan and Bashan in the north, with her suburbs, and Beeshtera, with her suburbs, two cities. And out of the tribe of Issachar, coming back to the west side. Kishon. I can only imagine if you look this up, I don't think you're going to find one, but you'll see the river Kishon coming down. And so I figure there's Tanakh. So it's going to be on the river somewhere, most likely. Kishon with her suburbs, Deborah with her suburbs, Jarmuth with her suburbs, and Ganim with her suburbs, four cities. And now the tribe of Asher, this is the larger area here. This belongs to Asher, comes down to about here. Right here to this river, up all the way almost to Sidon, Great Sidon. Out of the tribe of Asher, Mishal with her suburbs, Abdon with her suburbs, Helkath with her suburbs. These are all just right on the rivers. River, and river. Helkath with her suburbs and Rehob with her suburbs. Four cities. Out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh. So this property here again, Kedesh, city of refuge. In Galilee with her suburbs, be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Hamath Dor with her suburbs, and Kartan with her suburbs, three cities. All the cities of the Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And so you track these, and you'll have, sure enough, there'll be 48. Verse 34, Merari. And unto the families of the children of Merari, the rest of the Levites out of the tribe of Zebulun. Right there, all kind of by themselves. Zebulun. And Zebulun, Zokneam with her suburbs, Carta with her suburbs, Dimna with her suburbs, Nahalol with her suburbs, four cities. Out of the tribe of Reuben, coming to the south now, Bezer with her suburbs, Jehaz with her suburbs, Kedemoth with her suburbs, Mephaeth with her suburbs, four cities. The tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead, in the center there, with her suburbs to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Maanaim with her suburbs, and Heshbon with her suburbs, Jazer with her suburbs, four cities in all. So all the cities for the children of Merari by their families, which were remaining of the families of the Levites, were by their lot 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their suburbs. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about. Thus were all the cities. Now, every city had its suburb. Last paragraph. And the Lord gave unto Israel, think about this, and the way context makes all the difference in the world. People will use a text like this and say, see, Israel did have all the land that they were promised, and so forth. But it's simply not true. They've never possessed the land to the extent that they were promised it, and you have to explain this by its context. Verse 43 through 45 marks a paragraph, a closing paragraph of this chapter. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And it's simply true. But you need to consider what it's saying. And part of that is determined by what comes in the 22nd chapter. But the last paragraph, these verses 43 through 45, should be understood in light of chapter 22. The greater part of the conflict was complete, and the time has come to dismiss the warriors to turn to their families and to their cities. They have been out here warring for years, and it's time to go home. And that's what this is all about. That time has come. This was a major success. The Lord had blessed their efforts immensely. though there remained work to be done. There's no question about that. Israel had nothing to begin with, and now Israel has the land on both sides of the river because of the promises that he had made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It's as simple as that. And these verses have to be explained in that context, or you'll end up misunderstanding the scripture, and it leads to other error and can touch and affect your eschatology, as a matter of fact, so that perhaps there is no real issue with the land anymore. Therefore, there isn't a people over there anymore. And all this stuff is just a type. And somehow the other Christ is coming, but really not to this earth. He's just going to take us all. We're going to float around on a cloud for the rest of our life. I don't understand all that. What we believe touches other things. It connects to other things. And if we get off on one thing, then it touches something else and something else and something else until finally we don't have very much to believe anymore. And so we need to be very careful to stay with the scriptures. And that's the lesson. Thank you so much for your attention.